Like to again turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. We were looked at several verses this morning in chapter 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, where we saw a pattern, a cycle that Israel fell into time and time again. That is, God blessed them and they failed to take those blessings into their next situation. We like to read these verses, Exodus 15, verses 22 through 26. Again, we read these this morning. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. The people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord will show us a lot of things if we cry unto him. Which what he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them statute and ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. Again, Israel is a type of the redeemed of the Lord. They mirror ourselves in a lot of different ways. And God's dealing with them also serves as an illustration of God's care in dealing with ourselves. So Israel and the way that God dealt with Israel is very informative, very instructive, very encouraging for you and I today. Israel's wilderness wanderings is a sadly accurate picture of the people of God today. As we saw this morning, throughout their wilderness wanderings, we see them in places of difficulty. We see them in places of trial. They're faced with obstacle after obstacle. God performs the miraculous on their behalf. Then there's this very fearful cycle that develops. We see them in these places of difficulty and insurmountable obstacles, and they immediately murmur. And God, in His love and grace and mercy and patience, would miraculously provide for them, giving them exodus from their situation. They would go a little while, and again, they would come to a place of difficulty, a place of trial. And again, they would murmur. They would complain, as if the past miracles never happened. Again, as we said this morning, if they would have just carried over with them the blessings of God into the next difficult situation, they would have handled the situation much differently. But time and time again, they find themselves under the paralyzing control of their circumstances. And our text, of course, is an example of that. We want to take the thought of the message from the words, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." And our subject is the Lord, our health. And I'm not talking about our physical health, but our spiritual health. Now in our text, Israel is in the wilderness of Shur, just 3 days removed from the extraordinary blessings of God upon them. 3 days removed from God revealing Himself to them in a mighty way. Now, 3 days later, this very same people who were singing God's praises in Exodus 15, verses 1 through 21, they come to Marah. It's a place of difficulty. It's a place of trial. There will always be places of difficulty. There will always be places of trial. 3 days prior, God had brought this enslaved people to the banks of the Red Sea, with Pharaoh and his men and their chariots in hot pursuit. And God destroyed Pharaoh and his armies in a mighty way. And God delivered Israel with a mighty hand. God blessed. And there was euphoria. The people sang the praise of God. Now they come to Marah. And as soon as they discover that the waters are undrinkable, they murmur. They have forgotten all about what God had just done for them. How that God had transformed undrinkable waters into drinkable waters. They had forgotten. And so often, we do the same thing. But again, we want to center our thoughts and glean some thoughts from these words. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's a very instructive statement. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Those are very encouraging words. We as God's people have and will continue to be brought face to face with Marah. And it is there that we need to hear these words, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. These words were meant to redirect Israel's focus. Let's look at these words. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Very first word, I. First personal pronoun. God is referring to Himself. It is God directing attention to Himself. I. He is the subject. Marah is not the subject. Marah is not the main thing. Never is. God is the subject. I. He goes on and he says, I am. First person singular present verb. I am. He did not say, I was. He did not say, I shall be. He said, I am. In that word, am, three periods of existence. There's past, present, and future. And they all come together in that word. It means I am what I have been. I am what I am, and I am what I shall be. Or, I shall be what I am and always have been. I am. Notice the next word. I am the. A definite article used to identify something very specific. In this case, I am the Lord. All capital letters. I am Jehovah. Always have been Jehovah. Still am Jehovah. Will always be Jehovah. I am the Lord. Jehovah means self-existent. That is, I am who I am. I have always been who I am. And I always shall be who I am. And that is of myself. Does not need any outside assistance. I am the Lord. It means He's self-existent. It means He's eternal. So those four words, I am the Lord, declares His greatness. You and I do not fully comprehend those four words. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It is a very exclusive statement. I am the Lord. I am the only God. I am the Lord. He is the subject. He is the primary focus. He's the focal point. And what He's doing is He's redirecting Israel's focus from Mara, because that's all they see at this point is Mara. And He's simply, I am the Lord. He's getting their attention. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Life, of course, must have a focal point. Everyone has a focal point. By that we mean life must have a purpose. There has to be something that is supreme in our life. Sadly, with most, it's self. There has to be something that controls and dominates our life. Something that gives our life meaning. And it is our focal point that defines our motives. It's our focal point that really defines our life. It is our focal point that defines our viewpoint. And may I say, Mara is not the subject. God is the subject. Mara is not the focal point. Oh, it was for Israel, but it shouldn't be. Whatever problems, whatever difficulties, whatever trials, whatever obstacles we have to face, that really is not to be our focal point. Don't get stuck there. That's where Israel was stuck, and that's where Israel continually got stuck. But the Lord says, I am the Lord. And then notice the next word. I am the Lord that. A word used to introduce something specific. In this case, healeth. I am the Lord that healeth. ETH. Present tense. Ongoing. I am the Lord that healeth. I am the Lord that makes better. I am the Lord that cures. I am the Lord that restores. I am the Lord that mends. I am the Lord that sets things right. I am the Lord who repairs. I am the Lord that healeth. And then notice what He says. Thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So it's personal. It's personal. Not only is He the great physician, He is our physician. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that is a declaration that God is able. And Israel needs to learn this lesson. We all need to learn this lesson. When God says, I am the Lord that healeth, He is saying, I am able. You notice He didn't mention any specific sickness. It covers them all. I am the Lord that healeth. That is a declaration that God is interested in us. It is a declaration that God cares. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It is a statement that declares His awareness of our need. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It is a statement that He is the remedy. He is the answer. And it doesn't matter what the mara might be. It doesn't matter what the obstacle might be. What matters is He is the remedy. He's the answer. Whatever the obstacle is, He's the remedy. He's the answer. Don't go looking somewhere else. I am the Lord that healeth thee. It is a statement that declares His sufficiency. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Is it not also a statement that declares that He is gracious? He is merciful. It is a statement that declares His presence. His gracious and merciful presence. I am the Lord that healeth. On both sides of that word, on the one side, you have I. That's God. And on the other side of healeth, you have thee. That's us. There's a great marvel in those words. I, thee. I, thee. God, me. God, you. I, thee. Where you place those two words, where you place those two persons, the position that you give determines how we live our lives. You have to do something with God. You have to do something with self. And what you do pretty much determines your focal point. Is the focal point I, God? Or is the focal point thee, me? What's the focal point? When we come to Mara, if the focal point is me, you, Mara is a great problem. But if we come to Mara and the focal point is I, God, Mara is not so big after all. I, thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Again, God's redirecting their focus. Mara is not the focal point. You say, oh, but my problems are real. My problems are big. They're not to be the focal point. They're not to be the focal point. Our focal point is to be, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And if that is our focal point, that makes a big difference concerning our viewpoint of Mara. I am the Lord. Throughout life, there's joys, there's sorrows, there's peace, there's turmoil, there's calm, there's storms. But in them all, the Lord's to be the focal point. In our times of joy, the Lord's to be our focal point. In our times of trial, the Lord is to be our focal point. Events and circumstances are not the focal point. Now it appears that Moses understood this because he cried unto the Lord. You see, Moses focus went beyond Marah, and he prayed. Israel's focus was Marah, and they murmured. Focal point determined action. Moses focused on God, looked to God in prayer. Israel focused on the problem, they murmured. These words are used to emphasize importance also. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God healed the waters, and he did that by turning them from bitter to sweet. But notice, it does not say, I am the Lord that healeth the waters. That's not what it says. He healed the waters. We have record of him healing the waters. But he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Why didn't he say, I am the Lord that healeth the waters? It would have been true. But why didn't he say that? Why did he say, I am the Lord that healeth thee? It's a point of emphasis. It's to teach us a lesson. Thee is emphasized rather than the waters. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The thee is more important than the waters. Again, it's not I am the Lord that healeth the waters, but I am the Lord that healeth thee. So the thee is given importance over the water. Now what God did with the water, that's not the emphasis here. God did a miraculous thing with that water. But that's not the emphasis. When it comes to healing here, the emphasis is not the water, the emphasis is you and I. Thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. These words reveal what ought to be the main point of our emphasis and concern for the child of God in life. Whatever your event, whatever your circumstance, your soul health is of far greater importance than the event. The event never takes priority over your soul health. Never. It never should. Whatever the event or circumstance, your soul is to have precedence over the event or circumstance. When we face Marah, many times we need to pray. Rather than pray, Lord, remove Marah, we need to pray, Lord, heal me. Lord, make me spiritually healthy so that I can face Marah. But we usually, oh Lord, deliver me from this. Lord, remove this out of my life. And you can pray that way. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but the emphasis needs to be, Lord, heal me. Make me strong enough where I can face Marah to bring you honor and glory. And I believe that's why he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, rather than I am the Lord that healeth the waters. So, Marah is an illustration of this statement. The statement is, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And I believe what he did at Marah illustrates how God heals you and I. And it's important. Again, God healed the waters. And when he did, he turned them from bitter to sweet. And then he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we have to consider that statement, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We have to consider that statement in its connection to Marah. I have no doubt that the miracle at Marah was intended to be a very instructive illustration of, I am the Lord that healeth thee. We read in verse 23, the waters were bitter. And in verse 25, we see that what the Lord did with the waters were made sweet. I am the Lord that healeth thee. What did God do with the waters? He changed them into something they were not. When God heals our souls, He does the same thing. How often we need to pray, Lord, change me. Change me. We prefer God to just make a few rearrangements. God didn't just make some rearrangements here. He brought transformation. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that changes you. When we face Marah, many times that is our number one need. We need to be changed. There was a change to a radically different form. It was a radical change. This was not just a slight change. The waters went from undrinkable to drinkable, from bitter to sweet. It was a radical change. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that can bring radical change into your life. So how did God do this? He took the bitter out and He put the sweet in. That's true healing. Take the sickness out, put health in. That's true healing. I am the Lord that healeth thee. How does God heal us? I'm talking spiritually. By taking out and putting in. Wouldn't we not be better off when we come to our Marah, our place of difficulty, rather than praying, Lord, remove this obstacle. Would we not be better off praying, Lord, take out of me whatever it is that needs to be taken out. And Lord, put in me whatever needs to be put in me so that I can face this Marah. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's the point of emphasis. God doesn't merely rearrange. God transforms. He can take mean, ugly lives and transform them into beauty. I am the Lord that healeth. He can take that which is filthy and transform it into that which is clean. How does He do that? He takes the filth out and puts the clean in. See, people want to change, but they don't want to take the filth out. God takes out, puts in. It is God who can take rebellious lives and transform them into obedient lives. It's God that can take that which is offensive and transfer it into that which is acceptable. How does He do that? He takes that which is offensive out. Takes it out. Puts that which is acceptable in. It's not just a rearrangement. It's a transformation. He can take a desert and He can transform it into a garden. He can take that which is broken and He can make it whole. He can take wrecked and ruined lives and renew them and restore them and salvage them by taking out what ruined them and putting in that which restores them. It is God who can transform houses into homes. God can do that. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And how is it that God heals, makes a house a home? He takes out what needs to be taken out and He puts in what needs to be put in. That's the healing that God does. God can take weddings and turn them into marriages. I've been saying for years, people need to spend less time on weddings and spend more time on their marriage. And that's true. He can take desperate circumstances and transform them into delightful situations. He did it time and time again with Israel. He can take that which is useless and make it a valued asset. Someone says, I'm useless. I feel useless. What they want you to tell them is how useful they are. But perhaps we need to tell them, well, I know one who can take useless lives and make them useful. I am the Lord that healeth thee. God transforms. He transformed those waters, but he didn't say, I am the Lord that healeth the waters. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. The waters is only an illustration of what he does in healing us. Again, he healed the waters. He turned them from bitter to sweet. And he's using this as an illustration of his healing of our souls. So how did God bring this healing about of Mara? Because that's how he heals us. First of all, there was a revelation. Verse 25, Moses, his focus upon God, cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, a specific tree. He didn't show him a forest. There may have been a forest there. He showed him a tree. He showed him a tree in the forest, a tree. Not just any tree, but a specific tree. That the Lord showed it to him shows that the tree was near at hand. It was right there. It's what the Lord would use to heal the bitter waters. And it was right there. And you and I may have to stop at Mara for a while, but God's remedy is near at hand. God's remedy is near at hand. The fact that the Lord showed him a tree and no doubt instructed him concerning that tree speaks of the fact that it was available. It was an accessible tree. Well, think about it. It was God who planted that tree, watched over that tree throughout the years, knowing that one day his people would come to that very spot and need that tree. We may have to stop at Mara for a while, but God's answer is near at hand. God showed him a tree. If we would just cry unto God, he'll show us. You say, well, I've been praying for days. He hasn't shown me yet. Keep praying. Well, I've been praying for a month now and he still hasn't shown me. Keep praying. I've been praying a year now and the Lord still hasn't shown me. Keep praying. No one else is going to show it to you. So keep praying. Well, I'm just going to go figure it out myself. Yeah, you think you've got a big problem now? Just wait. You're about to make it worse. You keep praying. You keep praying until the Lord shows you something. He might show you yourself, but you keep praying till the Lord shows. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, that speaks of the fact that this tree is applicable and relevant to the situation. Whatever it is God shows us is always relevant to the situation. God doesn't show you something that's irrelevant. The Lord does not give irrelevant answers. Again, we may have to stop in Mara for a while. But that which is applicable and relevant is near at hand. So what is this tree? What is this tree? What the Lord showed him made a difference, did it not? He showed him a tree, instructed Moses to cast that tree into the waters. Now, if you would have given up praying, the Lord hasn't shown me yet, so I'm going to figure this out myself. How many people would have thought, you know what, I bet you if I throw that tree in that water, that tree will soak up the bitterness and put sweet in the water. How many would have thought of that? No one. No one. That was God's answer. You're not going to figure it out. That was God's answer. Moses, you take that tree and you throw it into the water. You throw it into the water. He did not necessarily tell him, when you throw that tree in the waters will be made sweet. He just said, Moses, take that tree, throw it in the water. And Moses did. And the bitterness was taken out. And the sweetness was put in. So that tree made a difference. What the Lord showed them made a difference. Now, I believe the tree typifies two things. It typifies the person of Jesus Christ. Someone will say, well, where did you get that? Well, the Shulamite woman in Song of Solomon, speaking of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon 2, verse 3 said, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. In other words, he's the best tree. Of all the trees in the forest, he's the best. Jesus Christ comes into contact with the waters of Marah. He soaks up the bitter. And he dispenses the sweet. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jesus Christ comes in our life, soaks up the bitterness, removes the bitterness, and dispenses the sweet. Christ is the answer. He always is. The tree also, of course, typifies the cross, which is the work of Jesus Christ. God healed the waters, turning them from bitter to sweet. And we see that God used something outside of the waters to heal. When God heals our soul, he uses something outside of ourselves. The answer is not within myself. The answer is outside of myself. The answer is God. The Lord showed him a tree. And the Lord showed in the healing of our soul shows us the person and work of Christ. He puts the person and work of Christ within. He direct and makes direct contact with whatever the problem is. Doesn't matter what the problem is, that's not the issue. Never is. Never is. The issue is our soul health. And the problem, whatever it is soaked up, removed, and the cure is dispensed. Miraculous transformation had taken place. That's true healing. When a miraculous transformation takes place in our soul. So when you come tomorrow, and you will, and you may already be there. But we'll come around tomorrow over and over and over again. May look different. May be a different time. But we've been there before. Mara. And again, I want to stress, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He did not say, I am the Lord that healeth the water. He could have. It would have been accurate. It would have been a very accurate statement. But it goes much deeper. I am the Lord that healeth thee. So let us practice when we come to an obstacle, when we come to a difficulty, a trial, a problem. May it be the first thing we pray. Lord, whatever needs to be taken out of me, take it out. And Lord, whatever needs to be put in me, put it in. And after you cover that, then you can pray, Lord, if it please thee, change this morrow. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if the Lord changes us, that changes our morrow. Really does. The emphasis needs to be, Lord, heal me. Lord, heal me. There's so many spiritual diseases. And we get spiritually sick from time to time. And none of us are as spiritually healthy as we ought to be or can be. We won't be until we get to heaven. So we need to always be praying. Lord, make no stipulations, no restrictions, no limitations. Lord, whatever it is in me that needs to be taken out, take it out. And Lord, whatever needs to be put in me, put it in. Here's what we do. We try to take it out ourselves and we try to put in ourselves. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It may give you an hour or two reprieve, but it doesn't work. What works is when the Lord puts in and takes out. I am the Lord that healeth thee. None of us are where we ought to be, but aren't you glad for the things that God has taken out of you and the things that God has put in? Amen. And just keep praying. Lord, remove from me whatever it is needs to be removed. We can say, Lord, remove from me pride, and you can make a list. But why don't we just instead just leave it to the Lord? Lord, whatever it is, just take it out. Just take it out. And whatever it is, Lord, it needs to be put in. You're the physician. You're the physician. You do what you see fit. I trust you. I'm not going to go to a doctor that I don't trust. Not happening. The Lord is our physician. We got to trust Him. We just got to trust Him. So aren't you glad that the Lord not only heals the waters of Marah, but He heals us. And that's what's most important. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.